I get so sidetracked on how I plan and write the open to the show, and then what happens before we get on the air, and it just throws me off because I don't know why, but Solana's wearing a sleeveless shirt like he's Pat McAfee, and I've been texting Adam, you look great, crap McAfee. And then Crowder signs in. He's in a hotel room in Philadelphia. He's wearing a sleeveless shirt, an undershirt, and he's wearing an Expos hat too, which is so now I want to comment on all this stuff. And then when I sit down, the first text that's waiting says, Hawk, I've never agreed with your Will Ferrell bit that his movies are terrible. But seeing these god-awful PayPal commercials has me seeing the light. This is what you must see during his movies. I get it now. Oh, those PayPal commercials. The I want to pay with you everywhere. And it's just Will Ferrell preening all over the place. And so I don't know where to start because I really want to start by talking about Lamar Jackson and my gambling exploits. But I don't know what you're doing rocking an Expos hat. And I don't know what Solana is accomplishing with his outfit today.
Baker Mayfield over rushing. We'll get into it.
How about that?
We'll get into it.
How? I was literally falling asleep. I had a parlay last night. This was a killer. Remember I lost the Romo Dunze parlay by 0.5 yard? Lost another one last night by a half yard. I parlayed Justin Tucker over 1.5 made field goals. Derrick Henry, anytime touchdown, which he should have had 6 of them. He ended up with the one through the air, by the way.
Crazy.
And then Lamar Jackson, that was all parlayed with Lamar Jackson over 52.5 yards rushing. And he ended with 52 yards rushing.
I thought about you because in the fourth quarter he ran for a first down and he could have got another 2 or 3 yards, but he just jumped out of bounds because why get hit like this? It's a fourth quarter, we're beating the hell out of him.
Even at the end I figured he'd come in for the last couple of minutes. They took him out. If he came in for the last couple of minutes and they just need to get one more first down, then I figured maybe, you know, they'll push him forward for a half yard and I'll hit that parlay. The other bet that I had was the Buccaneers +4. And when they went up 10-0, I was like, oh man, this is money. Like, what are you offering me, Hard Rock app? Like, because this one's a runaway. And that didn't work out well. The last bet I had was Baker Mayfield over, 12.5 yards rushing, I think?
12.5, yep.
He was stuck on 10 all game.
Yep.
All game. And now they're just trying to score. Final play, the literal final play of the game. He scrambled for 10 yards. Just ran for a meaningless 10 yards. It mattered. It was over. I would not believe I won that over. It was the greatest non-interesting scramble that I've ever watched. I'm screaming. I couldn't believe it. I was so ready for a flag.
I don't know about this statement. It's a weird one, but I was laying in the bed with my wife because this is 11 at night, 11.
Yeah, it was 15, late.
It was late. And when he takes off, I jump up and lean against the headboard. And I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. And she looked, she's like, what are you talking about?
It was ridiculous.
Then I turned my phone and showed the Hard Rock Bet app and she just looked. So I don't wish you were in the bed next to me, but I think the excitement would have been mutual if we were by each other.
It was ridiculous. But out of all the bets to cover, that one covered.
But let me tell you about my tank top and Expo hat. You know, I only wear hats that match my clothes. Mm-hmm. I have on a Beyonce shirt that I got from the concert because I'm in the Beehive. And this matches the shirt because I was traveling today because now I'm in Philly to do a show here in a little bit. I walk into the hotel room at the Marriott Bonvoy and these damn Philippians, whatever their names are up here, they have the room at 76 degrees with the heat on. It's not that cold outside. It is. I'm talking about I'm in a sauna right now.
So you had to take your shirt off. Now you're just in the undershirt. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's no Expo fans, but the hat is brown and black. And
what's matches. Your excuse, Solana? Why are you wearing that shirt?
I'm just jacked.
Do you do shoulders?
Nah. I don't know. What? How do you do shoulders?
Yeah,
I'll send you
he
a
does shoulders like Markelle Fultz.
You have no delts or traps.
I got them. I have dats.
Delts and traps.
I work them out at the same time.
Did you leave them at home today?
Crowder is in Philadelphia. Can we say who you're going to interview? There were some great clips. I haven't watched it yet. Great clips of your sit down on the pivot with Rex Ryan. I'm really looking forward to watching that one. That looked great.
It's pretty.
Can we
fun.
Say who you're up there to interview today?
Yes. Hell, I always do it and get in trouble for it every time.
Saquon Barkley. That'll be good.
That will be good.
That'll be good. So we have a limited time with Crowder today because he's going to go talk with Saquon during our show. Understandable. On the show today, Twan Russell is going to join us. It's UMFSU week, so we'll talk with Twan. That's a tradition, these here parts. This is wild. There's a tweet from David Fioronis. The Dolphins' leading passer through six games. Do you know who it is?
Still has to be Tua.
He played 1.5 games.
I know. Have you watched what Boyle and Thompson and Huntley have done?
It is indeed Tua.
Yeah.
He is the leading passer on the Dolphins through six games, 483 yards through the air. Tyler Huntley, 377. Skylar Thompson, 187 yards. And Tim Boyle, 153 yards. That's staggering. You know, when we talk about the drop-off from the quarterback to the backup, where it shouldn't be that kind of drop-off, six games have been played. You have Tyreek Hill as your receiver. Your head coach is an offensive guru.
Yep.
And your leading passer played for six quarters out of those six games. That's really mind-boggling.
And he's the only adequate quarterback that's on our roster. And that's why that happens.
Yeah.
And you know what else, too? You brought it up. I just thought about it. With Tyreek and Jalen and Raheem Mostert and those guys, the offensive, honestly, they were Pro Bowlers last year. This window's really hurting their case, too. Because nobody from an offense scoring 11 points a game is going to the Pro Bowl. Tyreek is one of the best receivers in the world.
Now you understand why Tyreek wants to take advantage of a great season, renegotiate a contract, why Jalen Waddle wants an extent. Like, you don't know when that season's coming again, if that season's coming again. So you get your money when you can.
Tyreek has Patrick Mahomes for a couple years. He's the best receiver ever. He gets Tua, number one receiver in the league, gets voted by the players as the best player playing football on the planet. You lose your quarterback, and now you're catching one ball for 8 yards in an entire game.
Amazing. Today, we are giving away Heat opening night tickets every other hour. So when do you want to do this? 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock hours, Solana? Or 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock hours?
Let's do 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock hours, unless anybody else wants to do 2 to 4. I'm very easily open to negotiating this.
Jimmy, what do you think? Do we give away the tickets in the 3 o'clock and the 5 o'clock or the 2 o'clock and the 4 o'clock?
We give them away at 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock.
3 o'clock and 5 o'clock? All right. So there's two votes right now for 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock.
I'd like to change Crowder, my vote actually to 2 to 4 now.
Solana, what do you actually do at the gym now that I'm looking at you in this video clip?
Yeah, so Crowder, I realize, you know, maybe I don't have delts or lats, but I do know that you have fats, and I can see it all right now with that shirt look, you got on, man.
Solana, look at, like, where is that on you, this part that comes down?
I got
it. In other words, Solana, here's my point is,
like, that muscle that separates from the shoulder to the bicep.
Yeah, I got
like
it.
Where is all?
I got it. Look at that.
That's a sunburn. That's called sunburn.
It is becoming autumn, and so now is the time where in South Florida we start to dress for the cold. Mm-hmm. And all throughout the summer you don't wear anything sleeveless. Mm-hmm. But today you show up with a sleeveless shirt, and I know because at the radio station it's Jersey Day, and there's a whole bunch of people at the radio station repping their teams colors. That's the Halloween week at the radio station for us is this week. And so like Thursday is dress up day. So my guess is Solana thought he was going to impress a lot of the people at the radio station today by wearing a sleeveless shirt. Mm-hmm. Am I correct there?
Yeah, and I'll tell you right now, based on what I'm hearing, they were all very impressed.
With the jersey, period.
People are saying?
I've heard. There's just rumblings around the station, and I've heard people were impressed.
Because Pat McAfee wears that.
Yeah.
That's like painting the Mona Lisa on a Yugo. The jersey's nice, but it's sitting on a terrible canvas.
Well, we're going to give away the Heat tickets during the 3 and 5 o'clock hours. All right? So keep listening. Pair of Heat tickets for opening night tomorrow night in the 3 o'clock and the 5 o'clock hours. Today is Tavern Style Pizza Day. National Tavern Style Pizza Day, which is the square cut pizza that I would, you know, grew up with in Chicago, in the way that I still like it. Very, very thin pizza. This is not the deep dish, but Chicago tavern style is thin. In fact, you know, Josh Appel just had it. He sent me a video over the weekend because he was in Green Bay doing another Packers game, and they went for pizza and it came square cut. And he was a little bit confused by it. But today is a very big day. It's obviously the proper way to cut a thin pizza into squares.
A flatbread.
No, a flatbread is
a thin,
first of all,
square cut pizza.
No. A flatbread is usually oblong, first of all. This is a circular pie. This is the regular size pizza. Flatbread is usually, you know, like a rectangle, or the whole thing isn't square cut. It's a circle, but then squares within the circle. I think we may have lost Crowder's connection there at the Bonvoy in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it doesn't look good right
now. And what a terrible picture it is frozen on for us.
Mm-hmm. Looks like he's sleeping.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking sleeping. It looks like he's in the throes of passion, Jimmy. I got to take a picture. Oh, he's gone. I was going to take a picture
I'll
of that.
I'll hook you up there. I'll hook you up there. Oh, man, my bad. We'll get the screenshot, though. We'll get the screenshot.
That was not pretty. What was going through my head there. Anyway, Tuan Russell is going to join us. Crowder's going to be with us for some of the show today. He's going to be taping with Saquon Barkley during most of it. Let's get headlines here for the 2 o'clock hour with Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
Hawk, it is the best time of the year, man. The best time of the year. The MLS playoffs begin today. Let's go. Everybody lock in. Let's go. Don Garber, where you at? NBA starts tomorrow. We had two Monday Night Football games last night. Doubleheader. Took me an hour to figure out where to find these games, but I was successful.
Oh, ESPN, you know, is going to have one Monday Night game. It's been on ESPN forever.
Why don't they just put one game on ESPN, one game on ABC or ESPN2.
Because they want you to buy ESPN Plus.
Yeah. Well, I have
ESPN only place
Plus.
It was the only place to get the second game.
Yeah. I have ESPN Plus. I have ESPN. Still took me an hour to find these games. And I'll say what everybody else is thinking, Hawk. It's enough with the Manning cast. We got it.
I haven't watched it at all this year. Yeah. I like watching Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. Oh, there was a funny picture of you that was frozen on the screen for a long time, Crowder.
I'm in Berwyn, Pennsylvania. This place sucks. Wi-Fi drops.
Is your microphone hooked up? I don't even know if your microphone's hooked up.
I hate Berwyn, Pennsylvania.
The Ravens beat the Buccaneers last night on Monday Night Football. They dominated them. It was a 3-score game, then it was a 2-score game, about like 1:08 left to go. And Chris Godwin ends up hurting his ankle. It was an ugly injury, man. Like,
terrible.
Yeah, brutal.
They were arguing on First Take this morning. Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp were arguing who should be the NFL MVP right now. Do you have a take, Crowder? Who would your NFL MVP be right now?
Off my thought or who I think would win?
Off your thought. Who's the MVP right now?
My thought would be Derrick Henry.
Oh, interesting. Mm. And you could make a case for that.
It's what he's doing right now at his age and just the big runs he's making. It's Derrick Henry is dominating the NFL in a running game that NFL is getting away from on one of the hottest teams in the league. Who's going to win it? Patrick Mahomes. He's the quarterback of an undefeated team.
So Shannon Sharp says it's Lamar Jackson. And Stephen A. Smith says it's Jared Goff.
No. Goff will never win he'll never win MVP.
You don't think?
Why not?
No. No, he's good. Solana, you better not start going on Jared Goff's side because your ass gave me hell about Goff for 3 years. He's just it's not a legit passing team. Like, it's not based on him.
I disagree, man. Like, I know what you're saying. His stats at the end of the day don't look like Patrick Mahomes or Lamar. I mean, Lamar yesterday was just stupid, bro. Five touchdowns, crazy. Five incompletions. Like, it's crazy.
How about that deep pass that he threw for the tutty? Like, oh, I mean, goodness. Like, effortlessly.
And waved the guy down and told him where to go mid. That play was amazing.
Ticket Wizard texted me when that happened. He's like, how come offense looks so effortless for every other team? And I go, because they're not relying on Tim Boyle.
Y'all remember when Stephen Ross wanted Lamar Jackson?
Oh, I remember. And you know Stephen Ross remembers.
And then we could have had him.
Out Boyle.
Could have had him 2 years ago, too. He was on the outs in Baltimore. And we
By the way, anyone could have had him. Anyone could have had him.
And we did show after show. Would he be worth two first-round picks? Well, he's not healthy. This and that. And, man, he would have been worth five first-round picks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Goff.
He'd have had the Rudy Gobert trade.
Yeah. Crowder, Jared Goff sometimes throws like 40, 42 times a game. Like, I know the numbers aren't sexy, but he's extremely accurate. His team has one of the best offenses in the NFL. And if they end up, I don't know, 14-3, 13-4, number one in their division, there might be some voter fatigue around Lamar or Patrick Mahomes. I see an avenue for Jared Goff.
Oh, no, I'm with you. He's playing amazing. He had the reemergence of all, like, I've been on his side. I've been telling y'all about him. I draft him in fantasy and all that stuff. He is just not as good at quarterback as Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are. He's not. And I know he had a game. What was
that?
Two games ago, he went up. He was 100% from the pot. Like, stupid stats. It's amazing what he's doing. Dan Campbell, that run game, Jamar Gibbs. I love the Lions because that's old school football like the Ravens are. But you line up. Hey, let's trade for somebody. Jared Goff, Lamar Jackson, or
Jared Goff's like, probably not even on the list.
I would trade for C.J. Stroud over Jared Goff.
Let me look here at player awards on the Hard Rock app. Lamar Jackson's the favorite at plus 250. Patrick Mahomes, plus 425. Josh Allen, plus 550. Jared Goff, plus 700.
Don't waste your money on Goff.
Derrick Henry's not even on the
bro.
Oh no, he is. I'm sorry. Plus 5,000.
I bet him. But the only thing is that he's going to get hurt here in the next, and knock on every damn wood I can knock on in this terrible Bonvoy and Berwyn. But yeah, he's going to miss a couple games.
Saquon Barkley plus 10,000.
It's just not going to go
like Micah Parsons plus 25,000 if you want to go defense.
It's not going to go to a running back whose quarterback is an MVP caliber player. It's just not. Like, if Lamar got hurt and the Ravens kept winning and it's because they're just pounding the ball and this guy's numbers are insane, fine. But Lamar Jackson, what he did yesterday, is just as good as anybody else in the NFL.
Yeah. And that's the crazy thing. If Derrick Henry was on a team with a bad quarterback, he wouldn't be doing what he is because everybody would stack the box. So they're scared of Lamar Jackson, so they lighten up the box, and now Derrick Henry gets it. And just like that long-ass run, he has one little itty-bitty number 30 trying to tackle him, and he slaps him down like a child at daycare and goes for 80 down the sideline. So they help each other out, but the quarterback's winning this award every year.
Yeah, let's see what you do with Tim Boyle as your quarterback, Derrick Henry.
He'd have 113 yards on the season.
Prove your mettle.
Celtics-Knicks opens up the NBA season tonight, 7:30 p.m., a rematch of last year's Eastern Conference. Or no, did they mean the second round or the conference finals? I think the conference finals. Either way, no rematch of last year. Okay. Lakers versus Timberwolves at
it's
10 p.m.
So easy to annoy Solana by just throwing shade at anything basketball.
Solana, you got to give us some basketball picks. I was looking last night.
It's like I'm working with Zaslow again. It was so easy to get under his skin. Just say anything that doesn't revolve, your life doesn't revolve around basketball or Pearl Jam. I just send them into a dizzy.
And Lakers Timberwolves tonight at 10 p.m.
Oh, big one.
Now, go ahead. Tell me more about this tavern style pizza that you probably haven't had in 3 years.
Hey, you know, like, is this Bronny James really going to play?
Yeah, they're saying he's going to play. That tonight will be the first time that, it's happening. They're not pulling any punches. They're not pretending that he's got to earn his way into the lineup. Like, he is out there. Yep.
Hawk, we're not good dads.
Oh, I'm all for it because this is absolutely what I would do for David. 100%.
Yes. Yep. We're not good dads. I don't think I can get Chan on the Dolphin roster.
Well, I can't get David any help anywhere. but if I could, I would do this. So I don't begrudge him at all.
DJ will have Solana's job in no time. What grade's he in?
Yeah, he's a junior in college.
Oh, yeah. He's cutting Solana off in a year and a half.
Yeah, I think my days are numbered, man. Damn. I hope he fails like college algebra or something, has to retake it, stay there for a couple of semesters.
It would be tough not to be able to take your gig. I'm not certain what you do.
I give you some NBA headlines.
I've checked our YouTube playlist for 11 days, and it's still video of Gino Toretta breaking down the Cal game before it happened.
To be fair, I haven't had Wi-Fi until this morning, to be fair.
Well, you're doing your job well, then. Nice job. Glad you can do your job without Wi-Fi. This shows you how little he does. He can do his job for 2 weeks without Wi-Fi. How many people can say that in today's day and age? Like, everyone else, Wi-Fi goes out, the airplanes shut down, like, every business shuts down. Solana, 2 weeks, no Wi-Fi. Rolling doo-doo.
Thank you, AM radio. And the Cardinals beat the Chargers yesterday. I was able to watch that. FIU has Vice Night tonight. They host Sam Houston at 7:30. And there's some more NFL news as well. We'll get to it later. Panthers, Wild, tonight, 6:30 p.m., it is a frozen frenzy tonight. So the Cats game starts a little bit earlier. Listen to it right here on WQAM. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. It is a good afternoon in South Florida. That is your weather.
That's a forecast from someone who has no Wi-Fi. A good afternoon was the depth of his weather forecast. Twan Russell going to talk some pains with us next.
As a Mr. Rogers forecast.
It's a good afternoon in the neighborhood.
A beautiful day. Hey, all you skilled tradesmen out there, are you ready to take your career to the next level and start earning some serious cash? You gotta holler at my people, PKB Cabinetry. The dealer program is your ticket to success in a booming cabinetry industry. I'm telling you, I get the cabinetry done, the garage, the kitchen, the bathrooms. You're putting in, you're so good at it. You gotta holler at my boy Edgar over at PKB Cabinetry. Tell him I sent you over there and you can open your dealer account today for free. You start delivering high quality cabinetry solutions for the kitchens, the bathrooms, the garages, you know, anywhere, the bedrooms, whatever you need it at, and much, much more. I'm telling you, PKB has variety and in-stock inventory your clients are looking for. And you know what? A lot of them want to get their dream projects done before the holidays. I know I wanted to. And that's why I got my guy, my skilled tradesman, the dude I mess with, to go to PKB, get his dealer program. And I'm telling you, he's loving it. And listen to this. They have an aggressive commission structure and unparalleled support. You'll be putting money in your pocket with every single sale. You want to make money. You're already good at it. Why don't you make more money doing what you love? Ready to make that move? You've got to visit pkbcabinetry.com and learn more and apply today. That's pkbcabinetry.com. PKB Cabinetry, where craftsmanship meets opportunity.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Hawk and Crowder.
Tuan Russell is going to join us. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Before we talk some Canes with Tuan, reminder, if you're looking for the best Canes or Dolphins merchandise this season, check out Caneswear in Davie, University Drive next to L'Espada's, or online at caneswear.com. Tuan, of course, Crowder, this is tradition, certainly for UMFSU week. I mean, we talked to him throughout the year, but UMFSU week, Tuan joins us, and Gino Toretta joins us, and we like to celebrate the pageantry of this week. He played linebacker for the Hurricanes in the 90s, played a couple seasons linebacker for the Dolphins. You know the story if you listen to this show. The Russell Education Foundation does such great work helping the youth of South Florida, and Tuan is the athletic director at St. Thomas Aquinas. But when it's UMFSU week, Tuan is just a Hurricane rooting for an ass-kicking of those Florida State Seminoles. And that's the truth. And he's joining us now. Hello, Tuan.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Am I right? Am I right? I think Crowder even. Will you
it's
acknowledge Crowder?
To be.
A Miami Hurricane. Crowder.
I just need somebody to join in with me.
Crowder's an honorary Cane this year.
Tuan, they let me get in on the top five team this year, Tuan. Are you okay with that, that they let me sneak in because my Gators are getting the hell beat out of them weekly?
I think the world of you can join whatever team I'm on. Any team I'm on, you're more than welcome to join. I'm all in with Crowder.
So here's
except for when we play those Gators. Other than that, I'm all in.
Right.
This year wasn't that hard, Tuan. Goodness gracious.
Didn't want to say anything, but we know. So here's the thing, though, Tuan. It's a great season, and they're undefeated, and Cam Ward looks like a possible Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, it really is going well. They're three touchdown favorites over FSU Saturday night. But you, being a longtime Hurricane player, fan, supporter, do you tell everyone, hey, slow your roll? Like, as bad as FSU has looked and as good as UM has looked, just slow your roll. It's a rivalry game. Anything can happen Saturday night.
100%. If you're not going into this game, understand it's a rivalry game. Something's wrong with your brain. I don't care what the record is of University of Miami is, and I don't care what the record is of Florida State. University of Miami and Florida State have played over 65 times, and right now it's 35-34. Miami's up by one game over the 65 or 66 times they've played in the history of University of Miami and Florida State going back and forth. The records don't matter. When you look at the rosters and you go team by team, player by player, these guys played Little League together. They played high school together. They did all the all-star games before they went to college. They played against each other in college. And these guys know each other. These are brothers playing against brothers. These are friends playing against friends. And when you put your hands in the dirt, it's less about, you know, what's going to happen in the nation. It's about who owns the state of Florida. And every time I think of the University of Miami and Florida State game, I think about Michael Barrow knocking the crap out of, I forget the wide receiver's name from Florida State, but it's, whenever you Google University of Miami and Florida State rivalry, you have a FSU wide receiver on his back. I think it was Tomorrick Vandover. I'm not 100% sure, but you see his mouthpiece flying out, sweat coming off his face. Mike has the meanest, ugliest face in the world, and he's driving him into the ground, and it doesn't look like football. It looks like violence, because that's what happens. When you compete against somebody you know, and that you, and these guys love each other, they know each other, you're going to see hard-hitting, fast-playing football. It's not about the records. It's about owning the state of Florida, and we've been battling over 66 times. And I promise you, University of Miami wants to make sure they walk off that field and have won 36 and not 35 times.
It was Tamarick Vanover, by the way. That's who we're thinking of.
Yeah.
And Barrow was a bad man back then. I've seen that hit 100 times.
The Bermuda Triangle. You had Michael Barrow, Jesse Armstead, and Darren Smith. The baddest linebacker trio, arguably, in the world. And when you look at the what they've done in their career, they have over, almost 40 years of NFL experience between the three of them. They all played together. They're probably three of the baddest football players that played together as a unit to go on to the National Football League than anybody else in football.
Whew. My first thing popped in my mind was Vilma and DJ. Vilma and DJ popped in my mind, but they didn't have that third. I think you're right. Some bad men. Twan, and this is, you know, we're both defensive guys. We both play the same damn position. I don't want to say what's the problem. I want to say how do we fix it? Because VTech, Cal, and Louisville all had, if you average it, it's over 400 yards of offense. And then Cam Ward goes out there in the fourth quarter and drops 21, and we're good to go. How do we fix that when the defensive backs struggle? Do you send more pressure so they don't have to cover as long? Do you play more zone because they have help? How do we fix this secondary?
Well, we're young in the secondary. When you look at the guys that are playing, I mean, we have a couple guys that have transferred in. We're young in the secondary. We have some challenges in that place. Now, we're fixing it because of D-line. We're fixing it because how much we blitz. We have to be careful because you blitz too much, now you're putting your corners and your safeties on an island. Now they're in zero covers playing one-on-one. So they're trying to mix it up. I'll tell you, the MVP of all of this is the defensive coordinator. He is pulling it out because our defensive line, I think, is very talented. But when you start getting into the pass portion of it, we have struggled. And I think he's working with that. And you know what? We all know if you can play complementary football, you can win. And that's what Miami's doing. The defense is playing well enough, and the offense is figuring it out. I mean, I've never seen a quarterback in my life, and maybe I'm biased because he has that orange and green on, but I've never seen a guy that takes the snap, takes three drops, drops back three steps, take out a coffee maker, pours a cup of coffee, puts some sugar in, and stirs around a little bit, takes a sip, puts his pinky up, scans the field, hey, mama, I think I'm going to throw it over to the left, throws it to the left, the guy catches it and goes run for 20 yards or a touchdown. I've just never seen somebody look so calm and so cool. It almost looks like he's not trying, but him not trying is faster and better than everybody else on the field. He's playing in slow motion. He sees the field in slow motion. Everybody else sees it when you like fast forward it through a reel. Everybody else is fast forward, and he's playing in slow motion. It's almost like he has a superpower, and we don't know it. But he's been masterful. He is literally the reason why the University of Miami has won the last seven games. And it's been fun to watch. I have not – I mean, literally, who were we playing? Cal? And nobody was in my house. My wife's up in Tennessee with my son. I didn't go to that game. I'm running around the house by myself. I mean, and you know, it was the middle of the night. It's like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm running the house, high-fiving. The dogs are jumping up on me because I'm jumping up by myself. It was the best experience I've ever had in my life by myself. And I'm rooting for my Canes. And honestly, I hope we bring all the smoke this weekend, Florida State. They deserve everything we get. And I hope we don't come off the gas pedal, but we can't go into that game thinking, oh, we're up, you know, we've won, you know, seven games. We have to walk into that game understanding that we're going to play the toughest opponent that we're going to play all year, because they're playing for pride, too. When a man's playing for pride, he's a dangerous man. And we have to go in there and break their wheel right off the bat.
Juan jumped into that koi pond after that Cal game. Man, he didn't know how to celebrate.
That's a great idea. I'm getting in the koi pond. I never thought about that. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm doing it.
I heard Beatrice. What if you land on Beatrice?
I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
No, but you know what? You mentioned Cam Ward, and it really is, it's like, you watch him, everything you said is so right on. There are a lot of quarterbacks who can extend a play. We've seen this over and over and over again. The way he does it so casually, and I'm sure it only appears casually, but it does appear like he is never feeling any kind of pressure to hurry a throw. And again, he throws picks, so he obviously does. But his demeanor is so relaxed. I wonder if is like for me, I watch it and I marvel. I think it's great. I wonder if it could be taken as a detriment instead of a positive, where they go, hey, you need to feel more pressure back there.
I don't think so, because imagine how that offensive quarterback feels when Cam Ward walks to the sideline and he goes, hey, coach, I threw a pick. This is what I saw. I thought I could do this. He ran a little faster than I thought. And I tried to lob it over, but then he reacted. Not a big deal. I won't do it again. I'll throw a pick. I'm going to go down a drive. I mean, that's how the conversation looks when he's talking to the offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator almost looks like the student. And they're having a real debate. Like, sometimes I see him talk on the sideline, and he's saying, hey, yeah, that's not it. Yeah, absolutely. I don't like that. No, I don't like that. I mean, during the Cal game, they called the timeout, and they were debating very, like, almost like businessmen partners. They were debating on what they wanted to throw. He says, nah, not that throw. I like this one. He's like, nah, not that one because of this. And they were going back and forth. And I think that's what has allowed that offense to be so successful, because the guy that's throwing the ball has as much input as the guy that's calling the plays and creating a game plan. And they have great respect for one another, and he's earned that respect because the way he plays the game, he's highly knowledgeable. He understands the game at the same level, I think, that the coaches understand it. He's communicating with them in a high level. And I wonder, as we go through this NIL and you see more of these guys say, hey, you know what, instead of me going to the league, let me stay in college one more year. Now you're getting a high-level, intelligent man staying in college, leading younger men. And I think that's what he's done. I think when he walked in the room, he's been through the process. He's been through the fire. He's gone through it all. He was ready to go to National Football League. He came back to the University of Miami. So really, we almost have like an NFL quarterback guiding our guys, hopefully to a national championship.
Antoine, something we've talked about him a lot, but the same thing you're saying, interception or touchdown, he doesn't get excited and start, mm-hmm. Throwing his helmet and slapping it. Throws interception, he doesn't throw his helmet against the wall. He goes, Antoine, I've watched it. I've watched it a number of games. He either goes and talks to a coach, gets the iPad, or gets on the phone to figure out what he did, good or bad. I don't want to say no emotion because I know he wants to win, but to your point, it's a very mature way of approaching it, and I love that, Tuan. But is this – I want to change gears a little bit with that. Is this what we were waiting for with Mario Cristobal? Because the trenches seem like they're getting back to legit trenches. That's why I said I don't question the front four, the front seven, and you're right, the linebackers can't cover that great, but this front four and this offensive line looks like what I played against when I was at Florida playing Miami.
It's looking more like University of Miami football. They're doing it differently. I mean, they're doing it very differently. And when you look at those great teams in the past, in the 90s and the 2000s, those teams were, it was defense first. It was shutting your opponent down to, less than 15 points. Now we're in shootouts. I don't remember having so many shootouts in the season. But you know what? We have to remake ourselves. The game has changed. I mean, when you watch college football across the board, with the way the transfer portal has changed football, the parity in college football is very tight. Like there's not a lot of difference between 25 and number one. So just like the National Football League, the guy that wins the team that wins the Super Bowl, they've had probably 10 games where it was a 3-point different game. So I think you're going to see more of this in college football when those big teams play one another, especially in the same conferences. You're going to see very slim margins, and the University of Miami is learning how to play the game a little bit different. Now, I do think that we're going to get to a place where our defense is going to catch up. I mean, we're very close. Very close, and we have some young guys coming, especially in the secondary. And I've talked to those guys, and they talk about the linebackers that are going to be coming in. And if they can figure out a way to keep that style of defensive line, that nasty, brutal—I mean, those guys are dogs. with high level linebackers and corners, and it's going to be hard to beat the University of Miami. I love what Mario has done. And I've been talking about it. Every time I come on, I say, hey, guys, I got to get through year three. Mario, this is what he's been talking about, and he needed some time to figure it out. He needed some time to put the pieces in place. Now, we haven't made it. We can't sit here and say we've done anything yet. We've only won seven games. But when you look at what we have gone through for the last 20 years, man, this looks more like what we were thinking. Now, we're getting there differently. I mean, we're going through shootouts. I would love to see the defense step up, but they're going to get there. And I think we're going to see some exciting football starting with Florida State this weekend. And I think we got number six Miami, going to play a Florida State that's, having its challenges. But we're going to walk in there, man, with all the piss and vinegar we can bring to the table and play real Cane football.
I think it's number five, too. I don't think you want to short us one spot on the
We five. Am I shorting us? Well,
I think you are. Aren't they number five, Solana?
I don't believe so. I think they stood pat at six, Sock.
Yeah, but it's okay. AP. There's different ones because I said five earlier, but there's different rankings. So I think it's six on the AP.
Well, I mean, hey, we end the hunt. We end the conversation. I mean, if the playoffs started right now, we got a bye.
Wow, they are six.
That's
the AP.
All I know.
Huh. Man, that anti-Miami bias is still out there. It's ridiculous. You got these one-loss SEC teams, and they're ahead of Miami. It's ridiculous, Dwan.
Hey.
Well, let's talk about that. I have not seen this much venom to at the University of Miami in a long time. They walk into these hostile environments, and they are cussing and yelling and saying the foulest things to the University of Miami. I feel like we're at home again. Like,
we're back,
baby.
This is
what they used to do to us. Like, everybody loves to hate Miami. I love it.
Tuan, y'all ain't putting up 40 against Alabama, Georgia, or Tennessee now, Tuan. I'm going to warn you now.
Here comes this SEC.
Oh, so they
going to
put 40 on us? Like, they got to line up and play football.
Completely misplaced. Completely misplaced.
I mean,
Crowder.
Are we talking about Florida State or are we talking about Alabama? Alabama got two losses on their schedule.
Was it to Georgia and Tennessee? We just beat each other up.
Hey, you just misery loves company. You just trying to find a way to pull me down into the dirt.
No, didn't Alabama? Alabama didn't lose to Georgia and Tennessee.
To Tennessee, and it was.
It was like Vanderbilt or something.
Vanderbilt and Tennessee this past week.
I didn't want to throw it out of that. My son went up there. They went up there and put their hands on him.
I know we got to go, Tuan. So you got a koi pond and a bunch of dogs. Are you Dr. Doolittle? How many? You have any other pets?
I have 70 koi, seven turtles, and two standard poodles. We got a
partridge in a pear
of,
tree.
Squirrels and stuff running around the yard.
Tuan, if you just want to feed somebody, I got three kids if you want to shoot me a check or something.
Hey, man, if your kids eat like you, I don't want to do that.
Check out the Russell Education Foundation online. They've got their second annual Rally for Reading Pickleball Tournament coming up. And I know, Solana, that speaks to you. Loves himself some pickleball. Are you going to participate again, Tuan?
Yeah, I'm gonna put these bad knees to work. I'm gonna get it going.
Solana could say the same thing. Unfortunately, he's only 30, but he's gonna put his bad knees to work as well. Tuan Russell, we love having you on, especially UMFSU week, and I hope that it is a master class this Saturday night by Mario, Cam, and the rest of the Hurricanes. That would be fun, and we will speak with you as the season progresses. Thank you, Tuan.
All right, I'll see everybody in the koi pond. I'm jumping in.
Mark down Tuan's house for Halloween. It's coming up soon, man. He's got the koi pond out front. He's probably giving out the full-size candy bars.
Nope.
He's feeding 77 animals.
I actually remember Tuan telling us that he turns the lights off. Like, he doesn't
turn the
even
light
like
off and
like,
close the gate.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yes, see sir. You, Tuan. There you go. Tuan Russell.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I'm buttoning your shirt, Tuan.
Hawk and Crowder.